Hi all, this is James Haney, executive producer of Star Trek Excelsior. Hopefully, while you're listening to this, work on episode 308, Alderaan's Descent, is continuing apace, and we'll be ready to release for you in a healthy couple of weeks. But in the meantime, tonight, please enjoy another behind-the-scenes episode, this time with Mr. Michael Liebman, who plays Alex Rall. Mike Hennessy asked me to send him over a copy of a song, the Excelsior theme song, so that he could play it as bumper music at the front of this, right after my intro, but I vetoed him.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They're giving you a number and taking away your name.
Welcome to another edition of Behind the Scenes of Star Trek Excelsior. I'm co-producer Mike Hennessy. Joining me on this episode is the man behind the voice of the enigmatic, mysterious, perhaps sinister even, Alex Rall. Michael Liebman, say hello to everyone.
Hello to everyone. And please, don't call me sinister. I'm already sinister. I'm left-handed.
Okay. Welcome, and look forward to learning a little bit more about you.
Okay, well, let's see. I'm originally from New York and have been tri-coastal now. Presently live in Atlanta, legal secretary, Filker, Celtic music lover, and on certain weekends I try to convince people to throw money at me while I throw round discs of whatever they make CDs out of. Uncle to three nephews and a niece, and all around nice guy.
Now, you mentioned Filker. That's an expression that I hadn't never heard of until I became involved with Star Trek Excelsior, and I just simply did not know what the term is. And since I'm not too embarrassed to admit that I was ignorant of that, perhaps some of our audience might be interested in knowing exactly what you mean when you say you're a Filker.
The simplest definition is the folk music of the science fiction, fantasy, and horror genre. The whole idea of it has been around now for over 70 years. What happened back in the 30s and 40s with some of our luminaries in the science fiction writing world was they would take songs that were out there and rewrite them and put new words to them. The actual term didn't show up until somebody typoed the word science fiction folk singing in, I think it was a 1953 Worldcon packet. And typos, as you know, become words, and the name stuck, and it's been going now in that form for almost 60 years.
It's not so dark in the cave tonight. Just over here there's a crack of light. Tomorrow is the day. The voices coming through the wall. They're digging for a brand new shopping mall. They just knocked off for the day. It's late at night and the stars are deep. I'm okay, I don't need sleep. I've been sleeping for quite some time. I'm ready to dance with the devil's daughter. I don't need to walk on water. When I know that I can run on wine.
Where does Star Trek intersect with Michael Liebman?
The first episode I watched was Amok Time back in 1967. It's 1968 when I was a teenager, which will answer most of the questions. I didn't discover the first season because I was in Boy Scouts, but I gave that up and became a science fiction nut. And my parents thought I was nuts, and now they like that their son is doing something where he enjoys himself, you know, 40 years later.
How did you become acquainted with the idea of Star Trek Excelsior, and how did you become a member of the cast?
If I remember correctly, I could be wrong, I think I saw a casting call on the forum for another fan-produced production called Hidden Frontier. Now, originally, I had auditioned for Alcar Dovan, and I had been set to do it, and I had started doing the lines. When I got the lines into Jimmy, he said, look, this isn't working out as well as I had thought. Would you be willing to do this other role of Alex Roll? And I said, sure, why not? I mean, I just want to be involved. And the rest, as they say, is hysteria.
Did it kind of throw you for a loop when you found out exactly how complex this character was? Did you stop and say, oh my God, I thought the character was X. He turned out to be Y. And if I'd have known that, then I would have played him differently? Or did it work out so that you thought, well, there's really no harm done?
I just went with it based on what I was reading and just kept going with it. Once I read the backstory and it turned out like I told James and some of his friends that I didn't realize that Alex Roll was going to make Dirty Harry look like Mother Teresa, but as I just played him as I saw him, and as things went on, it sounded more like he was a troubled soul, and until we actually did the soon-to-be-mentioned episode, I didn't realize how much in pain he was.
You've mentioned that you are a Filker, and that leads on to possibly the most extraordinary role that I think any of us could imagine for a fan-based audio drama, The Line, which was a musical episode. What was your reaction when that idea was floated to you?
I originally think I was going, you have got to be kidding. One thing I'll do is I will sit down and I will do my lines and I'll get them sent. But this one with the songs, I had to wait for song files so that I could sing them so that we could all get coordinated, because you have me here in Georgia, you have Julian out on the California coast, and you have Kennedy on one of the Atlantic, I want to say Bermuda, but you probably know better than I do.
Cayman Islands.
The Cayman Islands. And here we've never met, we've never coordinated, and yet here we go, and it comes off about 99% like we were doing it all in the same room, except for the fact that Julian admits he can't sing, and Michael admits I could have done a lot better if I had given myself like a year's worth of prep.
I'm reading signs of morphogenic structures. They follow founder paradigms.
Are you saying what I think?
Well, the readings are in sync.
Then has the Federation crossed the line?
What do you mean? What are these structures? Sounds like they might be of use.
It means, I think. I dare not say it.
Starfleet's turned to arms of ill repute.
What do you mean?
He means biological weapons.
Biological to...
Yes, I mean weapons to wipe out the Founders.
Weapons banned under every law we've ever made. We have to make sure this thing is never deployed. Not by my Federation.
Do you mean...
There have been so many really excellent episodes that featured Alex Roll. Do you have a particular favorite?
No, I just go through, like recently I went back and listened to the whole thing again, and I just like the story. So I do not have a favorite episode. If you want to do a favorite vignette or something, I would say the episode where I supposedly had gotten killed. If you remember the log entry that ends that episode and the season.
Roll, entry 513. As a result of a recent conversation, I have adopted a new mission objective. I don't know whether I can take down General Brahms. I don't know whether I can take down myself. I don't know whether I should. I don't know whether two complete conversions can be held in the span of a single lifetime. I don't know whether history will judge me a saint or a devil for what I am about to do. I don't know whether I will save the Federation or destroy it. All I know is that if the Federation stands for anything, then I must act, and let history worry about the consequences. For the first time in many years, I do think the Federation stands for something. In fact, I think it stands for everything. May the great bird of the galaxy be my witness and my guide.
Now, also, too, I mean, we've all been together for a while as a cast and crew, and, you know, both in front of and behind the scenes, some of us in both roles. Yeah. Do you have any favorites? I mean, without a, you know, without saying, oh, this one's the best or that one's the best. I mean, have there been any real episodes where somebody did something and you said, geez, that was good?
I never really thought about it. Everybody, as far as I'm concerned, everybody involved has done a really, really good job. You know, when we lost Ben Randall and had Sam Gillis suddenly come and pick up, you know, for Alexander Laurock, you know, that was pretty, that would be pretty amazing. And then to go and just see how the story is developing.
It is kind of interesting to me that the powers that be really are seeing their audience share erode in the traditional over-the-air and now traditional cable outlets, and yet they're paying seemingly no attention whatever to these millions and millions of downloads for videos, and in our cases, not an insignificant amount of downloads just for audio. And it seems like there's this entire demand out there that people are starving for, and yet the people who supposedly know how to do audience research and know how to produce these quote-unquote professional shows are just simply ignoring the demand.
I would agree with you there. It's like I've been telling people people have been telling me for years, the studios aren't giving us what we want, so instead we're giving ourselves what we want. I mean, just in the genre of Star Trek, there are so many different productions, be it audio or video, that have been going on. I collect some of them on my computer because some of them are available for download, but there are productions literally all over the world, including the ubiquitous Turkish Star Trek, which is really bad, you know, and then you've got at least a dozen or so audio or audio video productions here in the States alone.
It seems to me that this whole thing is just going unremarked. I mean, it's just like nobody, it's almost like the funny uncle in the closet or whatever, you know, or the attic where it's just the people in the professional world of broadcasting, which I used to be a part of and still have attachments to, just simply do not want to talk about it. They don't want to acknowledge it. And it's like also, you try talking to critics of mainstream media, they don't want to talk about it. They're blind to it as well, which I find fascinating.
I think I could possibly explain part of it. If it's going to be a little bit extreme, people are not going to like to hear it, but I will be, honest about it. It's science fiction. We're still looked at by a lot of the media as being nothing short of wonks, wimps, and nerds. Several years ago, one of the local reporters did a story on DragonCon. Okay, now for those who don't know, DragonCon gets somewhere between 60 and 70,000 people now in a space where they can hold 20 to 25,000 because it's now in five hotels. But what did this guy center his story on about DragonCon? The fact that it can become very aromatic from people wearing their costumes and sweating and creating odors.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Behind the Scenes at Star Trek Excelsior, featuring the man who plays Alex Roll, Michael Liebman. It seems only fitting to give Michael the last word about what he thinks about Excelsior and where it's going.
I guess the whole thing has to go back to Jim, and I'd say that he's done a fantastic job, and we're all along for what's got to be a wild ride, and may it keep going.
For Star Trek Excelsior, I'm Mike Hennessy.